WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Donald Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, will be back on the stand at the former president's hush money trial today, and he's facing a bruising cross-examination. Correspondent Robert Costa has details from New York.
He testified that when Stormy Daniels started shopping her story, Donald Trump told him, just take care of it. Cohen set the scene. The 2016 election was just weeks away. And according to Cohen's testimony, Trump said, it's a total disaster. Women are going to hate me.
I have no idea what they're even doing.
As Trump continued to deny all the allegations, Cohen detailed how he made the $130,000 payment to Daniels to keep her quiet.
Secretary of State Blinken's made a surprise stop in Ukraine today.
Welcome to Ukraine.
How are you?
Nice to see you.
He's meeting with President Zelensky less than a month after Congress approved a long-delayed $60 billion military aid package for the country.
The assistance is now on the way. Some of it's already arrived. More of it will be arriving. And that's going to make a real difference against the ongoing Russian aggression on the battlefield.
The Biden administration announcing today it's ready to impose $18 billion worth of new tariffs on Chinese EVs, semiconductors, batteries, steel, and aluminum. The taxes on electric cars alone will jump 100%. The White House cites unfair trade practices and theft of intellectual property. Powerful storms are tearing their way through the South this morning. At least one person was killed by a tornado that hit St. Martin Parish near Baton Rouge. Henderson Mayor Sherbin Collette.
I've been living over here for 74 years, and I've passed through many, many hurricanes. This is positively the worst I've ever seen. The devastation's unbelievable.
In Baltimore, engineers set off controlled explosions to bring down the last of the large steel wreckage from the Key Bridge and free the massive cargo ship that's been trapped there for almost 7 weeks. CBS Baltimore's Mike Helgren.
The bridge fell away from the ship. They say it was a successful operation, and they hope to be able to move the dolly within 2 days over to Seagirt, which is not far from here.
A sax great, David Sanborn, has died.
Yeah.
He won 6 Grammy Awards and teamed up with musicians like James Taylor, David Bowie, Stevie Wonder, and Bruce Springsteen. His family says Sanborn died after a long battle with prostate cancer. He was 78. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Canadian wildfire smoke is back. That's why skies were hazy over Wisconsin Monday. Air quality alerts were issued for several counties. The Department of Natural Resources says small particles may make air unhealthy for some people, especially the very young, the very old, and people with heart or lung conditions. Most rural voters favor economic policies that lower costs and raise incomes for the working class. Patrick Toomey helped conduct a new poll for Breakthrough Campaigns.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
The poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions, but think Republicans are doing more for working people. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pirates clip the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game one of a 3-game series at AmFam Field. Pittsburgh jumping out to an early lead. The Brewers came back with a dramatic grand slam home run in the 8th from Jake Bowers, but the Pirates held on to beat the Brewers 8-6. The Pirates starter, Mitch Keller, keeping the Brewers in check for 6 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I love our team, huh? Yeah, I love them. You know, the way they battle. That's just, it's a sign of, you know, we did a lot of things not so good, but we had an opportunity to win the game. And obviously, you know, that Keller pitched. I think all the attention on the other two guys, I think he's He stepped up tonight. He pitched great, man. I've seen him do this before, but Keller was great. Ball was taken off. He was in total command. It's pretty special.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The two teams go at it again Tuesday night with sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon. The wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 70 with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, right on through Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Civic Media. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
We are back on Nightlight. It is Monday, and I don't even care because it's beautiful outside, so the days of the week have become totally irrelevant now that we are finally hitting good weather. Did you golf today, Conrad?
I did not.
No?
I'm just straight packing.
What gives? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to lose Conrad for 2.5 weeks. He's going to Italy.
I'm going to Italy.
And he's not even Italian. I don't know what he's got going on over there.
Where are you going, Conrad?
I'm going on a cruise. I believe a 14-day cruise.
Oh, okay. So you don't like traveling. Okay. That's where you wake up in America.
It's a young Christian singles cruise, and he's taking his entire family. I don't know if that's advisable, but.
Well, I'm taking my 93-year-old mom. 6-1.
You guys are both going to do really well.
We're crazy.
Hey, I got to read this because it's pretty cool. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. You ever work Madison?
Yeah, it was Comedy on State. I used to work it. Yeah, when Yoder booked it, I worked it a lot. Then they moved it over to the people that ran the place, and they were only booking young, edgy guys.
Oh, are those the people that own it now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay.
It's the guy. Oh, no, he still owns it. The Greek guy. I can't remember his name.
Victor?
Gus. The guy that owns it. The Greek guy.
So he must have bought it from the old other people.
Mm-hmm. And now his daughter books it, and she doesn't like us old guys.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm in my late 20s, Rob. I can't speak for you, but.
Late 20s. Yeah.
Extremely late 20s.
You must have lived a hard 20.
I got around.
It must have been tough.
Andrew from Verona says, what are we going to do without Conrad? Who's going to take the memos? Oh, that's gorgeous. I haven't asked you to take a memo in a while.
You haven't, yeah.
Todd will be filling in and Amanda, and I might get some blowback on the memos. But,
well, they're going to have to take all the memos. So when I get back, I can read all the memos.
Just give them a brief tutorial. We'll get them through it. My guest is Rob Brackenridge, who is in studio here, made the long drive up from the suburbs, what I like to call Appleton. You told me.
Well, LA, lower Appleton.
You said you had an issue with a certain small town police department in your travels. Yes. And I didn't even know if I should say the name of the city. I'm going to give you the option to do that.
Well, let's just say the place that they booked me into is the Chilton Hilton.
Ooh.
You don't want to
the clink.
You don't want to be.
You got arrested?
I did get arrested.
How did that happen?
Well, their cops are very bored here. Yeah. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, we don't have a lot of, that's what I miss most about LA is just driving around and seeing a cop and going, there's a nice guy. You know, right. Now it's like I see one and I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose a whole bunch of money.
Right.
So anyway, I was camping in High Cliff. Okay, and you've been to High Cliff, right? It's beautiful.
I don't know where that is.
No, it's up in Sherwood. It's a beautiful campground. I've been going there since I was a kid. Same campsite every night, every time, you know?
Oh, wow.
So I'm in there, and I'm, you know, having my THC, which is very legal in California. They turned our KFC, you know, the KFC into a store. And it,
Oh, wow.
They kept, you know, they made the Colonel's eyes real squinty. That was the only thing they changed. But I was in there, and if you think the cops are bored here, it's the DNR agents are the worst. There was this guy named Seitz, and he's from Shiocton.
Seitz?
Yeah, it's Seitz, and he goes through the campsites. So he was very—
And that's his real name?
Yeah.
Or Zachary, is that what you call him?
Zachary Seitz. Oh, that was his name. Or that still is his name. But he goes through campsites and makes people's life hell because he's got all the cop equipment. He just can't use it. You know what I mean? He's so frustrated. He's like, and he was real skinny, and he had like the Napoleonic complex. It was like Barney Fife. He was actually very nervous the whole time. It was his first day on the job. He's like, well, that's illegal here in Wisconsin. We don't take kindly to people who do that. And I'm like, okay, well, write me a ticket. He's, nope, call the cops. And he called the Chilton police, and they sent the entire force, both cars. And they were, I mean, campsite was full of the Keystone Cops and Barney Fife, and they brought me into jail, and you've been arrested, right?
I have never been arrested, no.
No!
I've been given a
warning.
And
you call yourself a Wisconsiner?
Well, you know what? I'm a law-abiding citizen, Rob, and I take great pride in that.
All right.
I'm not judging you.
No.
Outwardly.
I'm sure you've got a few skeletons in the closet. We're going to find out.
I just never got caught, yeah.
You never got caught. But, so anyway, they took me in there, and, they ask you all these questions, religious affiliation.
What?
Yeah, I'd never been arrested before either. And they ask your, you know, religious, you know, all these personal things. And then they go sexual preference. And I'm like, large breasts, you know, because that's what I like. And they're like, what? And I said, that's what I like. Why? Is that
men or women? It's just
it doesn't matter. Sure, right. Yeah. Then they said, sir, we're just trying to find out whether you like men or women. And I'm like, okay, men.
You know? This really happened to you? Is that what you're telling me? Wow.
It really happened. And that's anyone that's been arrested knows that's what they do.
How long ago was this?
2 years. Well, the whole thing lasted 2 years. It cost me $10,000. I had to have, the judge is very prejudicial. He hates people that have THC. He hates anything. And he hates the name High Cliff. So anyone that gets busted there, you know, because he thinks they go there to do that. And so his name is Jeffrey Freight.
Let's just maybe avoid the name.
His last name is funny because it's German. It's a German word for happiness. The last part is correct. It's just, you're like, what?
So you had to go to court and everything?
Yes, I had to go to court, 6 court dates, and it was $10,000, and I shouldn't have had a lawyer, but I thought I needed one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'd never, and they sucked all the money, but then there were court costs and everything. And they found me guilty, and I had 100 hours of community service, 1 year probation, and 5 days in jail in the Chilton Hilton.
And for those of, like, I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to marijuana type stuff. THC is what you said it was?
Yeah, that's what CBD has no THC.
Has no THC, correct. Okay, I knew that.
Or a little, very little.
Right.
And the other ones, it's just a resin that grows over the bud of the plant that's protecting it. And it can only happen on the equator because that's the only place where the sun's rays are that high. And so now we recreate it by putting these lights on it. And so now people can grow it anywhere. But but we're the only place where you have to go to jail. You can buy it legally in Illinois and then step over this imaginary line and go to jail.
Yeah. All the way around us, it's legal. Minnesota.
We're the only pool.
Michigan, Illinois, yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And that's got to change.
Who are your influences when it comes to THC? No, I'm kidding. When it comes to
what is your influence?
Who do you take after?
Robert Klein, I really loved him, and I got to work with him at the Ice House in Pasadena. And
that's a great room.
I know.
I love that room.
And I'm here. Jan called me up, you know, the guy that books it.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, do you like Robert Klein? I go, yeah, that's my idol. He goes, well, if you're free tonight, you can open for him at this Ice House. So I was all excited, and I opened for him, and I killed, and Bud Friedman was in the audience. He'd never left the improv, you know?
Yeah.
But he loves Robert Klein. That was one of his first guys. So he came out to see us, and I killed. It was like Robert had a tough time following me, I hate to say.
No.
Well, he was trying new stuff. He was trying new material.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, but he still did. I can't stop my leg. He has to do that by law.
Right.
So, yeah. And no, I forgot what I was saying. That's
he's your influence. THC. One of your influences.
Yeah. And George Carlin, Robert Klein, Richard Pryor, those people.
You say most, I would say, I've only been doing this on this show for about 5 months. Richard Pryor and George Carlin are the two I hear the most.
Yeah.
Of, and they're probably the most influential of the last 100 years. Well, I guess you could say Lenny Bruce, but I never grew up, no, I didn't grow up watching
Lenny. Because Lenny Bruce had the unfortunate timing of not being around when, you know, TV was real popular.
Right.
It was still black and white back then. And when George and Richard came up, there was, you know, there was, yeah, color TV and there was, you know, all these comedy shows. And
my guest is Rob Brackenridge. He is a Wisconsin comedian based here in Northeast Wisconsin, joining me in the studio tonight. So I want to ask you this, Rob. For me personally, I do have some regrets when it comes to stand-up comedy. Like, I'm glad I'm where I am in life. I love doing this show. I love being back in Wisconsin. But I do regret I kind of stopped doing it when I started getting work as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could have still kept doing it. I got lazy.
Yeah.
That's my regret. Do you have any regrets when it comes to show business or more specifically doing stand-up?
You know, it's almost the opposite of what you just said. Because when I first moved to Los Angeles, I wanted to get a TV show. I'm not going to audition for commercials. That's, you know, I was
right.
A theater,
oh, wow,
major, and I wanted to be an actor in movies and stuff. And then I thought, well, that wasn't happening. So I wanted to write. I wanted to be a writer,
yeah,
and all my friends were making so much money, you know, writing and stuff.
Yeah.
And Drew Carey was in the apartment above me, so I wrote a Drew Carey script, you know, and,
oh, wow,
thought maybe that would, but I never did. And I saw all the writers were working 15 hours a day, and I'm like, I can't work 15 hours a day. I can't
right.
do that. I know I can't do that. I mean, I work an hour a day.
And you're exhausted. Just,
I gotta take a knee.
Those TV hours are long.
Yeah.
I think that's what I primarily did film, but and that's a regret I have too, is I probably should have made more of a push to do TV. I did work on a couple shows, but that's where the really crazy money is when mm-hmm. you're executive producing a TV show or a, you know, a weekly show,
yep.
I think.
Well, that's what K.P. Anderson ended up doing.
Oh, yeah. That,
you know, and he was from Minneapolis too. And I just,
yeah,
I watched
yeah.
all these guys just, you know, making all this money, and I realized that I was having more fun than they were, and I stayed with stand-up, and I'm glad I did. But my one regret was I didn't make a lot of money, I guess.
That's, right, okay. That's fair.
And I didn't pay into Social Security. So anyone listening that's a comedian, pay into Social Security.
Right. Conrad, take a memo.
Yeah.
Conrad, I want to keep you sharp.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great answer. Very honest answer. I appreciate that.
I'm extremely honest.
And what about clubs? What are your favorite clubs to work?
Ice House, of course, in Pasadena. The Skyline is awesome. Have you worked at the Skyline?
I back when there were previous owners, and when my buddy David Koechner was there a couple months ago, I tried to get him on the show, and they didn't call me back.
Hey, what?
Put the word in.
Can you imagine a club owner
not calling a comedian back? I will say there are people in the Midwest I've tried to get a hold of. I had an easier time getting a hold of studio executives in L.A. than some people here in Wisconsin.
Well,
I find that strange.
Yeah. Cliff was the old owner that you knew.
Yeah.
But now Adam Norwest is the owner, and he owns 7 clubs all across the country. So he doesn't have time to...
He doesn't need me.
He doesn't have time to talk.
Rob, this was fun. Thank you so much,
great.
Buddy. We got to do it again.
Yes.
All right. I would love to.
Tell
people quickly where they can see you.
Well, I'm actually on the road for a while, but I'm going to be in Nakusa, Wisconsin. Have you heard of that?
I have not. Thank you so much, though. Look for us. This is Rob Brackenridge. He'll be back soon. This is Peach Wabba Nightlight. Brian Kelly coming up next to talk cocktails. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back talking. It's an evening of comedy and cocktails here on Nightlight tonight. That was Rob Brackenridge. Great to reconnect with him. And Conrad, you really do need to take a memo. I need to make sure we remind people this is live radio.
And yes.
Nudity is not allowed. Okay, so this is exciting because here at Civic Media, I've had this guy on my show before. He's a very successful actor. He also tended bar. And so what better interview is there on International World Cocktail Day than an actual bartender who has served up just about everybody? And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, whenever Brian, when I get an email from him, I'm looking at all the stories he has, and I'm like, this is a mini series. There's no way. So we'll try to keep it to International World Cocktail Day, but we might get off on a tangent. You can still get in on the fun, by the way. What is our question tonight is, what's a cocktail you've never ordered but want to? Conrad, yours was?
A Manhattan.
A Manhattan. And mine is a Harvey Wallbanger. And I don't really know what a Harvey Wallbanger is. I have Googled it. I'm still not clear. But we'll clear all of that up momentarily. But let us know what cocktail you want to order that you never have before. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. That's easy enough, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight a guy who's become a good friend of mine and is a very talented actor and bartender, and is really fun to talk to on the radio, Brian Kelly. Brian, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Oh, I like that mustache, dude.
Thank you, man.
That is awesome.
I grew myself a Fu Manchu all by myself.
I love it.
And I got some burns here, too, some really got low.
The burns. Look at that.
In between bartending gigs, I was a tour manager for a summer, and I had lightning bolts for a little bit. It was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Is that for a role, the Fu Manchu, or just?
No, but it did help with a role I just auditioned for, but I do this like during the summer a lot. I have a Fu Manchu summer, then I kind of beard it up in the winter, and then I'm clean shaven in between. It depends on how I'm feeling.
I love it. It's funny. I used to love to shave my head at the beginning of every summer. And I would go down to like literally less than 1/4 inch on the buzzer. And my kids said, "Dad, you look like a psycho. Please stop doing that." And I did because of that. But now they're older and they're almost out of the house. So I might go back to doing it.
Go do it. It's easy. It's fun. And it's you have like no maintenance for a good 2 months.
I love to sit there and rub my head. It feels amazing. Hey, how you been, man?
I'm good, man. I've been putting in a lot of hours. I'm actually sitting in the brand new WRJN, what will be their studio.
Yeah.
We just put it together, and it is, I mean, one, the building is historic, but the transformation we've done over the last couple weeks is just a miracle in and of itself. But yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. It's pretty cool. If you want to, I'm gonna give you a little tour here.
Oh, yeah,
There's the rack. I mean, for folks online, there's a huge computer rack with a whole bunch of things missing in it. But now it's a clean studio with a nice, beautiful new board. And yeah, and there's even a cool old vintage WRJN sign.
That is cool.
Which is pretty nice.
Retro.
We found so many amazing relics in the basement here. And just links to the community Racine from way back from forever ago. And it's really cool because we're bringing back a lot of we're going to a little bit of an oldies format, on 1400 here. Cause we have a double signal. We can do talk and, music in the same exact pattern pretty much. because we have two signals in 540 and 1400 that kind of overlap each other. And we're going to bring back some old DJs, and it's going to be awesome. I'm really going to like it.
That's really cool. Yeah, Don Rosen was telling me that station's been around for like 100 years or something like that. There's incredible history there.
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of people that have gone through here, that have been on the air before, way before anybody else was here. I think Paul Harvey had a show for a while.
Oh, it's like, nice.
There's just, I wouldn't even do it justice if I started listing it off, but I'm pretty sure we have a link in our pages. So
yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I appreciate you taking time. How did you learn to do all that stuff? You're like this actor. You got great credits. You're also personable because you were a bartender. And now you know how to do all this engineering stuff. Normally, I don't even like people like you that are that well-rounded, but how do you do that?
Well, one, I was going to be a mechanical engineer, and on a whim, I decided to be an actor. And then I went through acting school, but in acting school, I had a well-rounded acting group of teachers. And so my first thing, I learned how to coil cable. I learned how to cut sound. And then, you know, fast forward years and years later, I've been acting for 20 years professionally, but not enough to, like, make enough to be on my own. And I decided to go to fake radio school and learn from there. But then, like, all the technical stuff, I literally learned by doing it. Like, hands-on, pressing buttons, and oh my gosh, I'm the only one here. But a guy, basically, all the stuff I learned how to make a radio from scratch was from this guy in Florida on the phone. It was me and him on the phone. He'd send equipment to me and then teach me how to use it the phone while doing it. Yeah. The guy runs the entire Catholic network of radio stations, by the way, and is more right-wing of Trump. He's self-proclaimed. But we have some interesting conversations. A really good, really, really great guy. Ron Kreider. Awesome dude.
Wow.
Anyway.
Nice.
But yeah, this octogenarian is the one who taught me how to do things on social media.
Sherry on the stream is asking, what movies have you been in?
Most recently, I was just in Heist 88. It takes place in Chicago. It's with Courtney B. Vance.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's a nice dude. I'm an enforcer. I make one of the main characters have to steal money.
Nice.
So.
And you've done the Chicago shows too, right?
Yeah, I've done all the Chicago shows except for Chicago Med. I've done PD twice, I've done Fire twice and PD once.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. All right, so you're here. I've been hyping this to talk about cocktails. Well, give us a brief synopsis of your time as a bartender. You must have loved it.
Bartending, I also learned on the way down because my buddy, I was living across from Wrigley Field, on my buddy's beanbag couch, and he comes home and he goes, hey, I'm about to go to work. He started work at 10 o'clock because it's a 4 o'clock bar. He goes, Dino, this bar never turns over ever. Dino got another shift somewhere else, and we need another bartender. So it's you now. I'm like, what? I've never bartended before in my life. So we're in the cab from Wrigley down to Wrightwood, which is, 10, 15 minutes at most. He gives me all the prices and says, good luck, you're next to me. And so I was in the middle and I was the service bartender, took care of the waitress, and it was a tiny place. So I just got thrown into the fire.
That is how you learn quickly, though, right? I mean, I bartended at an Elks Club up in Marinette, Wisconsin when I was 19. And when they throw you into the fire like that, you learn fast.
All I know is I walked away with $200 cash in my hand and on the arm of someone, and I don't remember the rest.
All right, so when I come back, I'm going to ask you what your favorite cocktail was to make and what your favorite cocktail is to drink. That's what I'm going to ask Brian Kelly, a bartender and an actor, not necessarily in that order, and he also knows a ton of stuff that I don't know about engineering, too. He's a great guy. He's with us here tonight on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, 'cause nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in your dream of love so true. I talk.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen, is expected to face brutal cross-examination at the former president's hush money trial today. CBS's Graham Cates.
When it's the defense's turn, you can expect that it's going to be a fierce examination. They're going to question his credibility. They're going to attack him for having previously lied under oath.
Weeks after Congress approved a long-delayed $60 billion military aid package to Ukraine, Secretary of State Blinken's made a surprise stop in Kyiv to assure President Zelensky.
All of us admire your extraordinary resilience, your endurance, your strength, your leadership. And we know this is a challenging time.
President Biden's just announced $18 billion worth of new tariffs that'll hike the tax on Chinese EVs by 100%. It'll also make China's semiconductors, battery, steel, and aluminum more expensive. White House blaming unfair trade practices and theft of intellectual property. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court is expected to rule on whether unstaffed ballot drop boxes will be allowed in Wisconsin this year. 2 years ago, the court's former conservative majority ruled nothing in state law allows for absentee drop boxes anywhere other than local clerks' offices. Justices heard oral arguments Monday. Microsoft's president says the infrastructure in Racine County met for Foxconn played a role in its decision to invest $3 billion in a new AI data center.
No doubt, we are the beneficiaries of that earlier effort. You know, the land that was initially acquired that we're now able to buy, even the electrical infrastructure.
Brad Smith speaking with WISN-TV's Upfront after President Biden's visit last week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. The Kingdom Rules, the latest installment of the Planet of the Apes franchise called The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, was number one at the domestic box office this past weekend, taking in almost $59 million. The opening haul is good for third overall so far this year after Dune 2 and Godzilla X Kong. The Fall Guy came in a distant second with a little over $13 million. The critically acclaimed Zendaya film Challengers took third. Rounding out the top five are the low-budget horror film Tarot, which came in fourth place, and the aforementioned Godzilla X Kong. According to Variety, cinema prognosticators are semi-encouraged about the strong opening of The Apes. The box office is still down about 40% from pre-pandemic 2019 and almost 20% from last year. Theater owners and studios are keeping their fingers crossed that the upcoming films Mad Max, Deadpool, and Inside Out 2 will rally the summer box office take. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon. The wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 70 with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, right on through Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, we now have wish lists from both parties on what should be in the next farm bill. They are not matchy-matchy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
celebrating International Cocktail Day from the 920. Jim from Appleton says, my untried cocktail that sounds interesting is a zombie. I've had Long Island iced teas, whiskey, and brandy Manhattans. All are good, but you can't have many. They're mostly just booze. It sounds like Jim wants to drink all night. Brian Kelly is here. He is our resident expert tonight in international cocktails. Conrad's aunt checks in from the 608. Carla says, Pete, I bartended at an Elks Club 2 in Baraboo. Conrad, Manhattan is mostly pure alcohol with a splash of sweet vermouth. Not bad, depending on what bourbon or whiskey you decide, but eat after. Advice from Grandma. Conrad's grandma and Aunt Carla, Brian, are basically my sidekick now because she has such great texts.
Yeah, you're not going to get too far with a zombie either. That's pretty much pure alcohol.
What's in a zombie?
It's a rum drink. It's very similar to a Mai Tai.
Okay.
In feel and or falling on the floor without noticing it. It's very fruity and punches you in the face.
Deceptive.
I've had one of those. And it definitely does that. Yes.
A zombie?
The Manhattan at least makes you sip it after a while. If you're doing, like, I used to drink stuff on the rocks because if it got too sweet, I'd just be like, hey, wee, wee.
What's in a Harvey Wallbanger? And do you have any idea why they call it a Harvey Wallbanger, Brian?
Harvey Wallbanger is basically a screwdriver with Galliano on it.
Okay.
That's it.
Ah.
It got popular back in the 70s, I want to say. And, you know, there's the brewers were called Harvey's Wallbangers for a while, right. I believe. You know, that type of stuff. But it's basically, you know, at every bar that I've ever been to, the opening bar kit is one used bottle of Galliano that has never been touched except for one Harvey Wallbanger being made per year. And they're like, wow, I really would just like a screwdriver instead.
So what's the drink? What would you say you've made the most of over the years when you were attending bar, if you had to pick?
I don't know, because I worked in so many bars with different bar specials. It just depended on that day. Like I made the crap out of mojitos for a while until my, like I got a blister on my palm from, muddling so much. I also used to open up, like twist bottles. So I'd grab like five of them in my hand and twist them off on my forearm, right? Like on the front part of your forearm. Next time you have like a Miller Lite or something like that, try it. Just put it up on your forearm, and the friction of the bottle cap will actually let you twist it. But if you do it long enough, you just develop a callus. So I actually had like a callus on my forearm from opening bottles that fast.
But are they supposed to be twist-offs?
No, the twist offs, yes. Like you can't do it with a not twist off. It will never work. You'll hurt yourself, and I've done it once. Somebody threw me a bottle that wasn't it hurt. It hurt, man.
What was your all right, so you've tended bar in Chicago, LA, here in Wisconsin, maybe?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So what was your favorite drink to make, would you say? Like, is there a drink as a bartender you're like, oh, cool.
Again, it'll depend on the moment. Like, if there's a lot of people at the bar, you are ordering vodka tonics, rum and cokes, and beers and shots.
Okay.
But if I have time, I love making a margarita from scratch. Oh, I like taking only bar fruit, just limes, lemons, and a couple orange slices, squeezing the crap out of them, muddling the crap out of them until all the juice and even all the oil is in there, too.
Mm.
You put it on ice and with the tequila, and you shake it until your hand hurts. And like you have to like peel your hand off. And then you pour, you take your glass you're going to use, you put the salt rim on if you're going to salt rim it.
Yeah.
And put the ice in there. Don't use the ice you just shook. Pour it over new ice.
Oh, wow.
That way it stays as frozen as it is in there onto the new ice. So the ice and the drink itself don't mix as fast and it stays colder longer. And you can just do lime juice, orange juice, and a little bit of lemon juice and really not have to add anything else to it but tequila and have a really amazing fresh drink.
That sounds really good. Did you
ever cold, go refreshing to... you could do it forever.
Did you ever go to Casa Vega in Los Angeles when you lived there?
I did not. Valley?
They made these margaritas. My biggest issue, I love a margarita, but most places you go to, in my experience, make them too sweet. And it's one or two sips. So to make them not sweet, you basically have to make it a double. But yours sounds like that kind of nullifies a little bit of the sweetness with natural fruit.
Most of the sweetness is added in the sweet and sour mix or the margarita mix that they add. Or whatever type of orange type of liqueur they use. Because you want to use, if you're going to use a high-end one, you use a Grand Marnier or maybe a Curacao type of thing. But if you, it's basically just an orange liqueur that you add into the tequila. But if you use it in large batches, it's easier to use the just plain old bar triple sec, which is basically just flavoring, sugar, and alcohol. Have a good time. But you'll definitely have a headache after a lot of those.
Why do they call it a fuzzy navel?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, let's do that or sex on the beach. Why? I don't, looking at the ingredients, I'm like, how does this, why do they call this a sex on the beach?
I would honestly say it's probably a, and I'm just guessing here because I don't know, but I'm guessing it's some sort of, you know, island cocktail bartender that was on some island or has like a beach bar. And this is called the sex on the beach because it's so good. You want to go out and have sex on the beach afterwards. Or it feels, or it tastes so good, it's just like sex on the beach. Or after a while, it makes you feel gritty and it hurts, even though it should be pleasureful, but it hurts. I don't know. I'm guessing. Some people like sex on the beach. Some people think it's like how airplane happened.
I don't need sand everywhere. That's why I don't camp. So I don't like, there's like a cake called Better Than Sex, and I've tasted it, and I'm like, whoever named it that is doing sex wrong. This is a fine cake, but it's not.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good, but I wouldn't opt for this over, you know, different, the other thing.
Different level of endorphins and that type of thing.
Correct. So if here's a question I would ask you. You're the bartender, I come in and I order a champagne coolie or a coconut Susie. Do you judge me? Or do you think, does that make me sound
you've
like
already been judged before you said that, but that's fine. Don't get me wrong, you're gonna be like bartenders like it's almost a self-preservation thing. We almost kind of like, you got to brace yourself and smile before you see the, that's champagne coolie. All right.
Coming up.
And then you have to guess if they're like, are you just saying a line from a movie? Or are you actually ordering from me?
Yeah. Right. Are you just, Seinfeld,
are you doing a Seinfeld thing? Right. Yeah. Are you doing a Seinfeld thing? Which is fine. We could do Seinfeld all night. Just
absolutely.
What do you want?
I don't know. Even remember where I heard Coconut Susie, but I guarantee it's from a movie. Totally.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. And if you don't know, I don't expect you to know everything about bartending, but you would know more than me or certainly Conrad. What is the least amount of money you can spend, but still get a good scotch or a good Irish whiskey?
All right. Irish whiskey is easy. Just have Jameson and move on. It's clean. It's crisp. It's easy to have. If you want something also cheap, go to Paddy's, P-A-D-D-Y-S.
What about Tullamore Dew? I always felt like that was a really good deal for the money. It's like $24 a bottle.
Tullamore Dew is technically a better than Jameson on the scale of distillery. But again, I would put them on par. I'll put them either way. Just don't do any of that Catholic stuff. I mean, don't do the Protestant stuff. You know, the Bushmills is evil and wrong. It doesn't taste good because it's made by Protestants.
I know. I learned that.
I'm serious. I bartended in Lincoln Park. And I had a lot of up the street. It was Galway Bay, and there were a lot of people from the old country, and they would come down and don't give me that effing Protestant crap.
And don't you love that they hold that grudge even though they're here?
They have good reason to hold that grudge. It was pretty bad. Anyway, that's why they made whiskey.
And your last name is Kelly. You'll appreciate this. I know a friend of mine. Got into a fight with a guy from Dublin once in a bar because he said he was 100% Irish, and the guy from Dublin kept saying, "Well, where do you call your home?" And he's like, "Chicago." He's like, "Then you're not 100%." And they duked it out. I love that.
And I'm sure I'm sure it was settled after that. Like afterwards, right. Now I know where I'm from, really.
Yeah, the guy from Chicago threw him over the bar. Threw the other guy over the bar was the end of it. But whatever.
By the way, don't throw punches in fights. Just throw other things or people into things. Just tip from your old buddy here.
So you told me Leading up to this interview, I love this. You saw a guy in a wheelchair. You have a story about a guy in a wheelchair in your bar. What happened?
So, okay. We had a regular that came into the bar. This is separate, by the way, than the full-on wheelchair brawl that I witnessed the end of. I came and I'm like, wait, what? And it turns out there were two wheelchair basketball teams that had like after hours at the drinks at the bar, and they got into it afterwards and was full-on wheelchair brawl.
Whoa.
Throwing each other out of each other's seats. That's separate from this one. This was a regular guy who came in his wheelchair, and I was in the back for a minute, and I came back to see some dude punching this guy straight out of his wheelchair, just like flat on decked him right across the face.
And he's not in a wheelchair, the guy punching him?
No, just standing up, that type of thing. Just flat right. on, just like this is the front of the bar. And I come up and I'm like, what happened? And it turns out that this man had been very inappropriate with the man's wife and was stretching the boundaries of any sort of tolerance, and then said some wrong things as well as groped some wrong things and got to the point of fill in the blanks of what would make you want to punch a guy in a wheelchair, and then everyone in the bar go, throw him out. And they tossed him out with the wheelchair on top of him.
Oh, now, my gosh.
It also showed me, you know, a bit of perspective, because if you saw someone being thrown out of a bar with a wheelchair on top of them, you'd go, that doesn't look good.
Right.
But then you have to think to yourself, why would someone be doing that? What could this man have possibly done so horribly wrong? And I have to tell you, he deserved every second of it. And that man had built up so much tolerance and so much he had cashed out every check of every kind thing anyone could ever give to him. And at that point, the whole bar was like, dude, you're done. And they kind of applauded the guy for punching him. It was great. Within the bar, but outside of the bar, it just didn't look good. But yeah.
Just the optics alone, if you see a guy in a wheelchair getting pummeled or wailed on, you almost, your initial instinct would be to come to his defense, but you also are like, he must have done. There's very few people that are that jerky that would do that unless it was called for, right?
Yeah, it's so wrong that you're like, I bet you that kid really deserved it. You know, like,
right.
But no, it can't be. But yeah.
All right, so... So in honor of International Cocktail Day, if you could only order one drink for the rest of your life, Brian, what would it be?
Oh, man. Right now?
Well,
jeez,
Moving forward, gosh. You get one drink the rest of your life, and every time you go out to a family function or a bar, that's the drink you have to drink.
I've changed it four times since you've asked it. I'm just going to do a zombie dust, fresh zombie dust from a beer from Indiana, Three Floyds zombie dust.
What is that?
It's an IPA, but it's not.
Just so a beer, though.
I mean, that you want to. Yeah, it's a beer.
Okay.
But if you want a cocktail, I'll go Jameson on the rocks.
Jameson on the rocks. Yeah, that's, you cannot go wrong.
It tastes sweeter as you drink it.
Yeah. And you do rocks.
Yeah.
Okay. How many rocks? Just a couple?
Just one if you got a large one, or a couple. Yeah. Or squeeze a lemon and put some soda in there. It tastes like unsweetened iced tea.
I love it. Coming up next, I'm going to ask Brian what Cubs he threw out of a bar that really did happen. We'll ask him next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about how to get out of credit card debt. It's going to sound so simple, it's silly. call your credit card company and ask them for a lower interest rate. I mean, they really will do this sometimes. Now, before you call, get your facts together. If you've been doing all the right things, you know, like paying on time every month, tell them that and ask for a lower rate. If you're going through a tough time, like unemployment, tell them your story. In most cases, they'd rather get something from you than nothing. And if they still don't budge, let them know you're thinking about leaving. Mention lower rates you've seen from other credit cards. And finally, if you really don't get anywhere with the first person you talk to, call back and, you know, try talking to somebody else. A 20-minute call could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Grandma, Conrad's grandma from the 608. This is Carla from Baraboo hanging out with Conrad's grandma. Do they live together, Conrad?
No.
Okay. Just a visit. So she's combining two of the things we're talking about here tonight. She says, Grandma says Manhattan is a sippy drink. Plus, we enjoyed the show with many laughs. Thank you, Carla. It's great to have you back. It seems like Carla took a couple weeks off. I don't approve of that. She says she is ready. Grandma is ready for bed in her flannel pajamas and flannel sheets, so she is not ready for regular plain sheets for the summer. Now, Brian, we were talking about this earlier. I'm not ready to get rid of my flannel sheets yet, but I do have an issue with flannel pajamas and sheets. That's a consistency that seems like it would be hard to maneuver around in. I don't know. Do you do flannel sheets?
I do not. Myself and luckily my spouse are very warm people.
Okay.
Which means that we both understand, sounds good, we're turning it down, and we are not touching flannel. I'm sweating thinking about you guys, but I hope you're cozy, and I hope you enjoy it.
Because it just seems like flannel on flannel, you're asking, that's a recipe for disaster. But if it's working for grandma, I'm fine with that, Carla, and my opinion doesn't really matter here anyway. But
yeah, I feel like it's one of those infinity pools where the water is exactly the same temperature as you, so you don't know where your body ends and your pajamas begin.
My guest is Brian Kelly. He works here at Civic Media doing really cool stuff, and he is an accomplished actor and an accomplished former bartender, and we're discussing International Cocktail Day with Brian. So, we talked about the wheelchair. The other one I want to talk to you about is you said you threw a couple cubs out of a bar.
Yeah.
I'd love to know who they were, and I'd love to know what happened.
So, this is back in like 04, 05-ish, and there was a young man by the name of Kyle Farnsworth.
Oh,
you guys
remember
Kyle Farnsworth? If you look him up, he has one of the best baseball brawls. You wouldn't call it a brawl as much as the guy. So someone was an idiot enough to charge Kyle Farnsworth on the mound. And by the way, Kyle Farnsworth is a specimen.
Yeah, he is.
There's not an ounce of fat on that man's body. And he is before they got into the tight pants wearing thing, he was wearing tight pants by default because the guy's just built. Okay. But he also likes to party. Someone charged him, and he just spearheaded, tackled him, drove him into the ground, and then double fist punched his face. Oof. Just to give you an idea of Kyle Farnsworth. So this guy's at my bar, and he's dating one of my regulars, who's a very attractive girl, and she tends to date some baseball players. And this time, she was dating Kyle Farnsworth at the time. And we're cool. We're all drinking towards the end of the night. And I look at him and I'm going, hey, man, I got tickets for tomorrow's game. Is it a night game? He's like, no, it's a day game. I'm like, get out of here. I'm taking my dad to the game tomorrow. And what's going on, man? And so I threw him out. I told him to leave. I kicked him out because it was past his bedtime. I'm like, you have to pitch tomorrow. You have to go. Get out. So I threw him in a cab. Turns out, like, that day, he was brought in relief, and he did not do well. And he was very frustrated about it, so he went into the dugout area, and he kicked a fan. Not an actual fan, like a metal fan, like a blowing fan. Yeah. And he kicked it, broke his foot, he went on the DL.
Oh my gosh. Did he give you?
But he was.
You're a big dude too. Did he give you any trouble?
No.
Okay.
No, like he understood. It wasn't that violent type of thing. It was more like a, dude, you're not allowed to be here now.
Right.
But he had been in a couple times, and it was enough that I could talk to him about stuff. But man, I didn't want to get up. I also didn't want to, like, I was kind of joking, but also like, dude, you can't be here.
Right, right.
What are you doing?
I paid money.
What are you doing?
For tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sherry, watching on the stream, Brian says, I can't get over how your voice sounds familiar. I grew up in Lockport, Illinois. Did you go there long ago, like in the 60s and 70s, or are you on civic media a lot? Probably the latter, right?
Probably civic media a lot. I also get told I sound like Seth Rogen.
I could hear that. Conrad, you're the Seth Rogen expert.
Yeah. Beavis? There you go, the laugh, yeah. Definitely.
I get a little Seth Rogen. I get a little John C. Reilly sometimes.
Oh, great actor. Love John.
Depends. He's got meat hands too. He's a larger guy. I'm pretty sure that some guy one time, the inker, like I was in LA when they were inking and drawing Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh yeah.
Because if you look at me from profile, I am Wreck-It Ralph, especially when I've worn overalls a couple times. But yeah, it's a thing. It's
That's
fun.
That's awesome. Sherry says, "Oh, he's fancy Brian on Civic."
That's me. I'm the fancy one.
Okay. Wow. She's a diehard. It's great to have you with us, Sherry.
Yeah. Welcome.
So I think we got time for one more question. Shots contest. You used to do shots contest.
Well, I did a shot contest. Like? Well, two things we used to do is my bartender or barback and I used to do the car bombs. Right. Half a Guinness with a shot of Jameson and Bailey's mixed. And we both can just go blam and just slam them down. And he's really fast. He's 10 times faster than me, but I'm pretty fast. So we get all the guys who are like, we want to do shots. And I'd go, all right, guys, line up your friends. Get as many as you want. If any one of you beats us, all the shots are on us. But if any one of you, if all of you lose, you're buying them and you're tipping 20%. Okay. Every time we just rack it up. And of course, you know, falling over the other night. But the one shot contest I absolutely lost was to this girl who was going into the Secret Service, about my size. She was doing SoCo Limes and I was doing Jameson's. It was the one time I could not do my register at the end of the night. And she stopped at about 10, but then started doing substitute fake ones that the entire bartending staff had conspired to do against me. So they just wanted to see how far I would go. And I got up to 24.
24 shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was the drink again?
Jameson. Straight
God.
Jameson.
I'm glad you're still here with us.
Did I mention I started work at 10 p.m.?
Whoa. You don't do that anymore. You're a married, responsible citizen. Yeah.
No, but I met her.
With that mustache, though, you look like you could. I bet you could still pull it off.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
Hey, man, this is
I have to
fun.
Wear this every day, Pete. I have to live with this every day.
Well, you could shave it.
Yeah, theoretically.
This is fun. Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated.
Anytime, man.
Keep up the great
this.
Work. All right. That's Brian Kelly joining us to talk International Cocktail Day. That was fun. Conrad, we got to have more fun on this show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most of the nights you leave here in tears. And I don't mean that to happen. That was great. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Rob Brackenridge, Brian Kelly. Great text tonight, as always, peeps. Maggie Dawn will be on tomorrow night. That'll be fun. And Mike Desitel. Former Fox 11 TV producer and Bigfoot enthusiast. I can't wait to talk to Mike. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being with me tonight. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Next up on The Maggie Dawn Show, if you thought you were afraid of a second Trump presidency, I've got Trump's wish list of Supreme Court nominees. You won't want to miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.